And then we're going to get straight into the sermon. So I was a bit long this morning. There is a danger I might finish short. But if it looks like that, I'll, you know, give you value for your turning up. I'll speak at like half speed or something. So we finish at half past. No, just kidding. So we're looking at Psalm 56. And we're going to read the whole thing. I know, right? A whole chapter of a whole... Well, it's not really. It's just a psalm. Psalm 56. If you don't know your Bibles that well, Psalms are sort of in the middle in the Old Testament. So it's a psalm of David. In this NIV extra large print that I picked up this morning that I'm still using, it has an introduction at the beginning of the psalm for the director of music to the tune of A Dove on Distant Oaks. Anybody know that? I don't think so, no. Of David. So it's a psalm of David. When the Philistines had seized him in Gath. Gath was a city. I think Goliath came from Gath, but I could be wrong. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, Goliath. So it was a city you definitely didn't want to visit. And yet David did. But we'll read this. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, like that word. They watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. But by this I'll know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So, going to think about fear this evening. We live in a world of fear. I'm afraid of almost everything, which is a bit of a wuss, really. I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of spiders. I'm definitely afraid of spiders at height. I say I'm afraid of it. That's one of the things. I conquered one of my fears yesterday. For the first time, I went on, I can't remember what they're called. In Felix, they were a tube filled with water that you slide, a water slide. Yeah, I'd never ever been on one. I thought, I'm almost 40, seize the day. And so I went on this thing, and everything was fine until I got near the end, and I started to lose, my body was going out of control, and, you know, when you're 6'1", you know, you're like a handcuffed crab most of the time when you're trying to move around, and I was bashing myself, but I survived. But there's a lot of fear in life. We live in a world that is full of fear. You just have to put the news on or buy a newspaper, and suddenly, you know, it's panic time. It could be terrorism. It could be cancer. You know, you hear someone's got cancer in our families. It's so prevalent now that you start, you know, maybe you're gripped by the fear of, well, will that happen to me? Or what will happen if that happens? Could be financial ruin. I mean, Brexit's coming up. I say Brexit's coming up. It's happened, but it hasn't really happened. So what's going to happen when it actually happens? Is the world going to implode? I mean, I've heard Christians debating this and getting really worried. You know, what's going to happen? I'm pretty sure God is still in control. There are lots of things that make us afraid in life, and we have many reasons to have legitimate fears in life. But we also have some strange fears that aren't reasonable. Some phobias that don't really make much sense. I found a few online. Turophobia. Anybody here got turophobia? It's a fear of cheese. Okay, these are real phobias. So there are people walking around. You may see them in the supermarket, sort of hiding away from the cheese aisle. They're afraid of cheese. Maybe you've got omphalophobia, which is a fear of your belly button. Real fear. So if they, you know, are you in an innie or an outie? They would say, just keep away. I don't want to talk about it. This is a common one. These are all real fears. This is probably more for the young people, though. Nomophobia is a real fear. It's a fear, it's a phobia of being without mobile phone coverage. It's a real fear. Some teenagers walk around freaking out because they can't get more than one bar on their mobiles. There are many things that we fear in life. Plato said, courage is knowing what not to fear. And the truth is, with the inevitable fear of our lives, when it materializes, one of two things happen. We either conquer our fears, get over them by getting the right perspective, if you're a Christian, or our fears tend to conquer us. What's interesting is most of the things that we're afraid of never happen. Have you noticed that? You worry and you worry and you worry, and it's, I hate the dentist. That's another one of my fears. I get really flustered. You know, I'm sitting in the waiting rooms like boom, 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 boom. There we go. There we go. Little sound effect for you. And I'm getting really flustered. I went just last week, and so what goes through my mind is I'll just phone up and tell them I can't make it. You know, I'm busy. I'll postpone it. I did that at the beginning of the year thinking they'll only postpone it by a couple of weeks. 6 months I had to wait. So I couldn't do that. And the reality was I sat in the chair. He said some numbers. Does anyone know what that means? I don't know. 0, 1, 0. I thought he was talking in Morse code or something. And then I was 3 minutes later, it was all finished. Most of the things that we're fearful about, the fear never materializes. All of us have fears, but the Bible tells us that we don't have to be a victim of fear. We don't have to be the deer in the headlights, so to speak. We can have this confidence that David speaks about in the psalm. We can have the confidence that David talks about in Psalm 27, where he says this. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I wonder if I spoke to you at the door today and you said, well, thank you very much, blah, blah, blah. And then I said to you, what is the strength of your life? I wonder what your answer would be. Would it be the strength of my life? Well, that's an easy one. It's God. Or would you say, if you're honest, the strength of my life? Well, that's an easy one. It's sort of me. You know, I try and get through things. I try and deal with things. I think often that's what we do. David didn't. He did sometimes. He had confidence and assurance. But critically here in this psalm, he has perspective. When this psalm was written, you know where David was? I know some of you probably do. I'll tell you where he wasn't. He wasn't sunning himself by a swimming pool on holiday, flying on the wings of ease and great prospects. He wasn't sort of sitting back watching Netflix or posting Twitter in a Costa coffee. He was most likely hiding in a cave with his men. Most people believe that he wrote this psalm with regard to the account that you read about in 1 Samuel 21. He's hiding from Saul's army in that cave, thinking maybe this is going to be the very last moment of my life. And that's when he writes Psalm 56. And you know, wondering if this could be some of his last moments on the earth, you know what he says? He says a prayer. He says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, and in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? He prays. What are you afraid of? What are your fears? What shadows are cast over your life? Whatever those things are, you can learn to pray the same prayer that David prays here and mean it and know the experience of God's help in that fear. When I'm afraid, David says, I will trust in you. The first lesson that we learn from him is that when fear arrives in our lives we have to do something that actually is completely against what we feel like doing. When I'm confronted with the dentist, I want to turn around and run the other way. And we're all like that with our fears, are we not? when we're confronted with something that we don't want to deal with, that we're afraid of, that we think is going to overwhelm us, the human reaction is, I'm off, right? David says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. I will keep on going. You notice he doesn't say, if I'm afraid. Like, there's some chance that he will not be in a position when he's afraid. No, he says, no, that fear is going to come into my life. It's inevitable. I'm a human. This is the real world. Things don't just fall into place every time I want them to. When I'm afraid, I'm going to do one thing. He says, Lord, when I come up against something I can't deal with, something that feels like it's going to overwhelm me, when I feel helpless, when I feel as insignificant as, I don't know, an ant trying to resist the weight of a steamroller, when I'm at the end of my strength, when I'm at the end of my ability, and ultimately when I am not in control, I'm going to do one thing. I'm not going to search within myself to tell myself I can do it. I'm going to trust in you. That's what David says. He says, I'm going to take my fears and my worries and my anxieties and my burdens and those things that plague me, those things that keep me awake at night, those things that just make me feel flustered and get my heart beating faster and faster. And Lord, I'm going to bring them to you in every situation. And I don't need to understand everything that's happening, but I do need to commit everything that's happening to you. David made the decision to trust God with the whole of his life, not just a part of it. Remember when he was just a boy and he went out onto the battlefield with a Big Mac and large fries for his brothers? Remember I don't think he took them that, but he took them food, right? The Philistine army was about to invade Israel, and King Saul and his army had counted them and drew a line of defense at this valley of Eli, and then those two armies end up facing each other, and there's just one side of the valley, the other side of the valley, and there's this Mexican standoff. And the Philistines, this is a Sunday school lesson for you right now. So the Philistines had within them this great champion, Goliath, 9 feet tall, larger than life, and every single person was afraid of him. Everyone was afraid of him. And every single day he would march out into this valley and stand in front of the Israelite army and start to taunt them and challenge them. And he said, well, if anyone can defeat me, then the whole Philistine army will surrender to you. But he just kept on shouting out abuse to them and abuse and to God. And he didn't care. And nobody stopped him. And there he was, muscles on muscles on muscles. So imagine somebody very much like myself. A little bit taller, a little bit wider. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 that all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified by the threats of Goliath. You sort of think, well, why? Why? They'd seen God work in the past. They knew God's power. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why they were afraid. They'd forgotten who God was. They'd forgotten who he was. Have you forgotten who God is? Instead of praying, Lord, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you, they were saying to themselves, when I'm afraid, I'll trust in myself. And you know, what happens when you do that, what happens to them, is every time you do that, you come up empty. They were shaking in their boots before this man. You'd have to be insane to challenge Goliath. And then David shows up. He's got lunch for his brothers. The Bible says that the day that David showed up, the moment he was there, Goliath came out again, as he had done for 40 days. And Goliath comes out again, and he mocks the armies of the Lord again. And the Bible says David heard it. He hears God, Goliath mocking God. He hears Goliath mocking the army of the Lord. And when he heard it, he said this, what will be done for the man who defeats that giant? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the army of the living God? I'll go and fight him. You know, he doesn't say that Goliath's not a giant, does he? He doesn't say, well, you know, he's kind of in the distance. It's not like he's got an unrealistic view of how big Goliath is. Sometimes we do that with our fears. We say, well, they're not really as bad as they could be. You know, they're not really as bad as I think they are. We would sort of almost bury our heads in the sand when it comes to faith. That's not what we're called to do. Life is hard. We thought about it this morning. Life is a battle. Some things are massive for us to deal with. David saw this giant. He didn't see him as an insignificant thing. He just looks and he says, well, I don't understand. You guys, you've all seen God at work, and you're doing nothing. Why is anyone doing anything about him? What's wrong with you? Where's your faith, in other words? And to everyone around him, this must have seemed like a joke. Must have seemed like a joke. Eventually, you know the story. King Saul hears that they had a person who's willing to take the challenge of the giant. And so they took David to King Saul, and King Saul sees David, and he thinks, well, this is crazy. David's just a boy. He's not trained in warfare. He's just a shepherd. He's a nobody. He's weak. He's insufficient. This is where it sort of dovetails with what we were thinking about this morning. Compared to King Saul, David was insignificant physically. The Bible tells us about Saul that he was head and shoulders above every man. He was sort of a giant himself. Saul effectively says to David, listen, you can't do this. You won't stand a chance. And you know what David says? This is David's response to King Saul. When King Saul says, there's this giant, there's you, he's significant, you're insignificant, you can't do it, his response is, the Lord. You ever notice that? So many things seem impossible in our lives at times when you take God out of the equation, but when you factor in him, nothing is impossible. He said, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. The Lord did that. And the same God who delivered me will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul says, well, go and the Lord be with you. Take my armor. In other words, he says, right, it's your funeral. And the Bible says they put Saul's armor on David, and it was so ridiculously big and heavy, he couldn't move, and he took it off. And I love what he says. He says, I can't go in this. I've never tested it. I've never tested it. I can't wear it. It's too heavy for me. But that's not really the main problem. The problem is I've never tested it. I don't know if it's going to keep me safe. I've got no experience of this thing that I'm wearing keeping me safe. But I know something that will keep me safe. I know someone who will keep me safe, even if there were a whole valley of giants that I had to fight. David says, I've got my own experience of God. When that bear attacked us in the field and the lion came upon the sheep, I saw what God did in that moment. And David said, if God did that, if God protected me, then he can do this. God worked before, he can work again. If he provided for me before, he'll provide again. And we need to remember that principle and truth in our Christian lives and trust God for great and mighty things. If God did that, then he can do this. Nothing is too hard for him. I was thinking about this afternoon, and I really feel, I never do this, okay, ever. But I really feel like God wants me to impart a message to you as a church, and it's this. Your faith as a church cannot stop with the building around you. You have the bricks and mortar. Now build the church. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. You know, it's great. We're just about to embark on our own building project. And the mentality is, you build a building, and then you're done. You got a lovely new kitchen, cafe area. You got lovely rooms outside. That's not the church, is it? That's the building. God can do great and mighty things. You have to keep trusting him. David, like David, say that the Lord who delivered me then will deliver me now. The Lord who provided then will provide now. I know God provided for your building fund in amazing ways, and he will keep providing if you keep putting your faith in him. So Saul says to David, let's get back to this. He says, well, go and the Lord be with you. He never expects to see David again. And if we're honest, neither would we. And David walks down to the valley of Elah with a rocket launcher and a bulletproof vest, carrying an automatic rifle. He unclips these two grenades and he starts throwing them out, and the battle begins. He hasn't got a care in the world. He's so relaxed. He gets his iPhone out and starts updating his Facebook status and reading unread tweets from Donald Trump. No, that's not how it went down. All he has is a catapult, and he picks up these five smooth stones out of the brook. You know what he's thinking? I don't know what he's thinking. This is what I imagine that this boy David is thinking as he goes down to that valley. He's probably thinking, what on earth am I doing? Right? What on earth am I doing? If you think that he went down to that valley thinking, this is going to be easy. I've got this. This guy's toast. You do not understand the story. No fear, no anxiety, no worry. That's not what it's about. It's real life. Of course he was scared. Wouldn't you be? He's not insane. He's got eyes, but he also has faith. And I love the moment where Goliath realizes that this is the guy who's going to come and fight him. He's dressed in all of his armor, and the Bible describes his armor as huge. And he sees this shepherd boy coming toward him, and he's incensed. And he says, what am I? Am I a dog that you're going to fight me with sticks? And then he begins to taunt and mock and make fun of David. And David says, and they're walking toward each other at this point, he says, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and all the world will know that there is a God in Israel. And then we read that David ran toward the giant. He ran toward him. He ran. We either run towards our fears or we run away from them. We either let them conquer us, or with God's help, we advance and we conquer our fears. David ran at the giant, and as he swings the slingshot round, the stone fired out and hit Goliath between his eyes, and a great victory is won. Why? Why did he win the victory? Because David had no fear? No, I don't think so. It wasn't because David was stronger. It's because his faith was in the Lord. God doesn't always remove the trials of our lives. He doesn't always remove the giants that we have to face. Sometimes we have to face them, but we never have to face them alone. If you're a Christian, then whatever battles you find yourself in, God is with you. The second thing we learn from David's experience is sometimes we need to attain faith for specific seasons of our lives. Have you noticed that life has sort of seasons? Sometimes it's really easy. I hope you're in an easy season of life, but sometimes it's not easy, and life is difficult. The next thing he says in this psalm is, in God, whose word I praise, in God I've put my trust. David there is referring to Scripture. When you have a battle that you're fighting, you've got to have a specific faith for that time. You've got to go to the Lord in prayer and wage a good warfare, the Bible describes it as. Fight the good fight. We thought about it this morning. Exercise faith based on the promises of God. And you know, to do that, wait for it, we've got to do something radical. You ready for this? This is radical. This is going to change your Christian life. To be able to live to the promises of God, you have to know the promises of God, which means you have to read your Bible. Now, I wonder if I asked, and I won't do this because you'll never have me back. I wonder if I asked you to put your hand up, if you've been reading your Bible today, other than in church, whether your hand would go up. I wonder if I ask you today to put your hand up, if you've read your Bible this week, if you prayed this week, and I don't just mean the classic on the way to work, Lord, please will you help me today? Thank you. You actually prayed. It's not easy, is it, to live the Christian life? But you know, when the giants come and the battles begin, we need to know the God that we're trusting in. And the promises that he has made. exercise faith based on those promises. And when we have those promises, that's what we need to speak about. And that's what we need to praise the Lord about and think about. Because there are many things that we're never going to know in our lives, in the situations of our lives. And David, when he faced Goliath, there were many things that he didn't know. And David is, he's in this cave hiding from King Saul. There are many things that he didn't know. But there was one thing that he did know, and what he did know was because he knew God's word, because he knew God, was that he knew God would never, ever break his promise. He'd never, ever leave him. He'd never abandon him. And when we get a promise of God in our hearts and our minds, and it becomes real to us, and we know God's given it to us, you know what it does? It fills our hearts with faith, and it lifts us above our fear. David says in God, whose word I praise, he held on to the promises of God. He didn't just stare at the problem. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you've got a battle, when you've got a problem in your life and no one else can help, don't call the A-team. They don't exist. Call upon God. Go to God about whatever issue you're dealing with. Lay hold of a specific promise and get your faith rooted in the power and the promise of the living God. That's what David did. When I'm afraid, he says, I will trust in you. So in our fears, we need to advance. We need to attain specific faith, root ourselves in the promises of the Almighty. And the last thing that David says is, we've got to see things as God sees things. We need a different perspective. I was given it was for Christmas, actually. It was embarrassing. Oh, I have to tell you about that. So I've got two friends. I've known them both since they were really, really young. One of them, I used to wipe his bottom. We were next door neighbors. He was four. He's now a deacon in my church. His brother is in a band. I taught him to play guitar, his brother. He's now in a really successful band that tour the world. And at Christmas, we never do gifts. And last year, I'm going off on a tangent, but last year they said to me, oh, we've got you something really nice for Christmas. So I started panicking. You know when someone says that to you and you haven't got them anything? And so I went online and ordered a couple of things that weren't that expensive. The day arrived, we were giving gifts. I gave my gifts out. My gifts were pretty small. And they unwrapped it. And then they gave me this great big box. And it was a really expensive drone. You know what a drone is? Like they got from the States and it was really cool and I felt so embarrassed that I went out and bought them some other stuff to sort of balance things up a bit. Why did I say that? Oh, perspective. Because when I take the drone up, when it's not too windy, I should have brought it, although I could have probably taken a lot of your hair off with it. When you're in a drone, you can see for miles. You can see things that you never even knew were there. A totally different perspective. And that's what David had. That's what he learned in the trials, in the battles, in the fear. I love the way that this sort of ends this psalm. I love that he says, what can mortal man do to me? Isn't that a great question? He sort of, think about the thing that you're most afraid of in life right now. I don't know what it is. And then plunge yourself under the ice-cold waters of the reality of that question. What can mortal man do to me? It's like a spiritual slap across the face with a wet fish of truth, isn't it? Instead of running away from our fears, we have to face them. And when we face them, we have to ask the question, you know what? I'm trusting God. He can do anything. I can trust him, as we thought about this morning, not just to get me through life, but to one day take me to heaven. What's the worst thing that can happen? And then when we've asked and answered that question in our minds, to ask ourselves a second question, do I not think that God will be with me even if the worst thing that can happen happens? David was, he was able to step back from this situation. He measured the mortality of man with the unlimited power of God, and he came to this conclusion. What is King Saul compared to the infinite, immeasurable power of the sovereignty of God? Answer, nothing. Nothing. A hurricane versus a dandelion. Nothing. Nothing compared to the power of God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there is a fear that we need. We need the fear of the Lord. Because when we fear the Lord, we understand who he is. You know what? You won't fear anything else. If every time you're afraid, you say, well, hold on. Who is God again? What did he do again? Oh yeah, he spoke the universe into being. That's right. He breathed out stars. That's who I'm trusting in. He's defeated death and sin and Satan and the grave, and I really have nothing to fear. My life is a vapor, and in a moment, I'm going to depart on my ship. The loosings are going to be moored, and I'm going to be on my way, and it's not a bad thing. It's the beginning of the beginning of the greatest glory and joy I'll ever experience for good, for an eternity. To be able to say, Lord, I trust you, I honor you, I worship you, I praise you, and I believe that you hold me in the palm of your hand. No matter what happens in life, I don't understand what's happening in life. I don't know how this is going to end, but I will trust in you, I will advance, for you are with me, and you are good. What are you afraid of? Spiders, heights, something worse, the future, tomorrow. Call upon God. Attain the faith that you need from him. Lay hold of his promises. Take your fears, put them into perspective. Get the right angle. Look at them in the light of the power of the one who made all things. When Goliath came against the Israelites, the soldiers all thought, he's so big, we can never defeat him. David looked at the same giant by faith and thought, he's so big, I can't miss. David says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I've put my trust. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? He holds me, David says, in the palm of his hand. And you know what? I trust him. He's always been faithful. He'll always be faithful. He never changes. Do you trust him like that with your life? On the wall of my study at church, there's a really big picture frame. It's not actually a picture, it's just a, well, it is a picture. It's a picture with words. Is that a picture? I don't know, a poster. There you go. It's a poster in the frame. And it's got loads of quotes. Like, it's got a black background and loads of really cool white writing. And it's just loads of quotes from people who lived for Christ, people who gave their lives to God and said, you know what, God, I'm going to live for you, and whatever happens, happens, and they trusted God, and God never let them down. And one of them is from someone called Helen Keller, who many of you will have heard of, and she said this. She said, behind me and before me is God, and I have no fears. You can only say that. You can only face the world and all of its problems and eventually your own death and eternity if your faith and your trust is in Jesus Christ. What will you do with your fear? Let's pray. Gracious Father, it's so easy for us to panic and be afraid in this world of darkness and sin and death and all the other things that make it such a heartbreaking place to live. And yet, Lord, we can bring all of our fears to you, and nothing is too hard for you. And I pray that you would help us to trust you. I pray that you'd help us to put our faith in you. If we never have before, if this evening, if we're honest, if we're not Christians, Lord, if that's us, I pray that tonight we'd turn in this moment and ask you to forgive us and ask you into our lives Lord, thank you that you sent your Son for us. Thank you that he died in our place. Thank you that he's taken away the fear of death for all those whose trust is in him. For those of us, Lord, who know you and love you, thank you for the way in which you hold us up in the difficult moments of our lives. When we feel fearful, when we feel afraid, help us to trust you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.